What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Apple Advisory. This is your host, Mike Baker, and got my man here with me, Mike Bennett, as always. And today we're talking about Apple products. If you're not familiar, you need to get familiar. This is the Apple Advisory. Today's topics, we're going to be talking about why is Apple yet, it says yet, why is Apple yet supporting Sir Tim Berners-Lee to save the web? The second thing we're going to be talking about is why Apple products are so damn expensive.
No, that sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah. And the third topic is Apple expanding the Everyone Can Code program that they have to bring more coding resources to teachers and students. And I kind of got an issue with that article in general, the article itself and the initiative. But let's go to this first topic.
Okay.
Sir Tim Berners-Lee, he's basically pushing an initiative to save the web. Tim Berners-Lee is basically he's an academic. He's a professional academic. He worked at like CERN or whatever. It's some CERN, capital CERN. I can't tell you what the acronym stands for, but they basically done a lot of things to build out the internet to what it is today, and particularly the World Wide Web, which was his initiative of creating the web as we know it, not necessarily the internet, but the web. And he's pushing this new initiative to create a different type of web, essentially with all these different policies in place. He's not necessarily creating the code for it, but he is creating the ideology of how the web should be and some of the things that need to be built into the web technologies for the things that we care about now, which is like things like security, privacy, the right to have your information deleted, the right to have your information taken. Like if you've given Facebook all of this information, you should have the right to be able to pull this stuff back at any given time. Here's a list of all the things you're saying. Everyone should be able to get online, which is like just that's a dreamer thought, but it's still, yes, everybody should be able to get online. All of the internet should be available to all. I think that's more realistic. It should be available to all. I don't know about everybody just being able to get online.
Pay to play, man.
Yeah, you got to pay to play. Yeah, I mean, you mean just giving it to everybody. But you should be able to get it if you can get it. If you can get access to it. If you can get access to it, it shouldn't be hard to get access to it. Privacy should be respected. Web users should have access to any data held on them, which is basically what I was saying about the Facebook thing. If Facebook got my data, I should be able to get that data from them. Users should be able to object to data being held. Users should be able to prevent their data from being processed. The internet should be affordable and web services should be accessible. It's basic policies, basic ideas. Some of them are things that we didn't think needed to be said, but some things just need to be said, like you should be able to get your data back. You should be able to tell people what companies they can and cannot do with your data. These things should just be part of the system, but apparently they just never really been. And one of the issues is that they're talking about in this article is that Apple has yet to actually sign this petition or agree to this new terms of applying these policies with their information, and they're wondering why Apple hasn't done so yet, because Microsoft has, and Google has, and Facebook has apparently, but Facebook has to. Facebook kind of has to, because they in trouble all the time, so they got to do everything now.
They involved to save face.
They in permanent time out for at least the next year and a half or so.
Indefinitely, man.
Yeah, right, for real, for real.
But yeah, I think that, so to speak to where is that as far as his intentions? I think that his intentions are good, because that's what you see is happening. But one of the things, I can't remember where I read it, right? Or it could just be a series of different information, data points I've come across just living. But I've noticed that whenever, just in any system, bro, like whenever there is a point of people being able to come together to commune based on something, right? That invokes like commerce, right? Where we, you know, there's, it can be trades and goods. And whenever there's commerce, then there has to be like regulations and there has to be regulations. You see what I'm saying? It has to have, mm-hmm. have a regulations in the process. And but
can't be
but
getting all that, this money without the government getting in on it.
And that's the thing. Like whenever there is, you know, commerce happening and people are able to sell what they want, they're able to talk about what they want, create different movements, whatever the case is, you're going to have people that see that as an opportunity. And these people being politicians to see that as an opportunity to be able to insert, you know, their ideals based on, you know, the people that they support, you know, mm-hmm. and I think so what I'm basically getting at is, I think what he's talking about when he said, like, that this term he used in here was digital dystopia, which yeah. I actually looked it up because I never heard that word until I read this article. But it says that dystopia is basically it's saying it's an imaginary world that's kind of grim, gruesome, and just has a whole lot of, like, you know, corrupt things happening.
Yeah.
But it's like that, you know, it's almost like I feel like that's bound to happen anyway. You know, because that's how people are. And unless you have different rules in place that so people don't destroy themselves based on their own vices, like that stuff is like it's bound to happen. In every civilization throughout the course of, you look at history, this is what it's come to, is that, you know, people was making money and somebody wants to make a whole lot of money, then they got to put rules in place. You got to put people together to, you know, regulate what the rules are. And then when you have these positions with people who's going to regulate what the rules are, they market, they have campaigns on who, you know, to influence the people who they think should be in power. So I don't know for what he's talking about as far as making the web kind of like safe from that. I mean, I don't think you can make, as long as humans exist, man, you can't really make anything safe from human nature.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah. He's at least trying to get to the point where it's like, even we know y'all are going to do these things, but we should at least have the ability to opt out of us, our data being a part of it on an individual basis. And it's kind of hard to,
I feel like that sounded kind of dark what I said, but go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it's realistic. I mean, because it has become a digital dystopia. Like the internet is basically like, at the beginning of the internet, you had to sort of have access to the internet to get there. And in order to have access to the internet, you had to sort of be a certain individual. It wasn't like you had to be like any higher economic means per se, but you sort of had to have a different way of thinking about things. And you had to sort of be aware in a sense of how you deal with things. And those people technically don't have, well, I don't know, I can't say that because there's all this pedophilia and stuff, all this crazy stuff. Yeah, but like I was about to say, they technically have some sense of morality, but not really. But it tend to have been like a more hidden place, I guess you could say. You couldn't see all the things that were going on as easily as you can see things now, online. And it was a different place for you to actually, like, if you wanted to see unicorns and rainbows, it technically was all that all the time. And like now that more people have gotten online, a ratio of people have gotten online. So it's like, it's a different world of people. It's the real world. And the real world isn't like candy and rainbows and fucking unicorns. It's realistic. Like there's your section for your unicorns, but there's also section for people chopping off unicorn horns and selling them.
There's peace and there's war.
Yeah. that's just sort of the world as it is. And what I think he's trying to do is find that fine line where it's like, even if this is going to happen, it's going to happen either way. But if it's going to happen on you guys' platform, since y'all are companies, we should at least make it so that y'all have the ability to pull us out of that information. Like, allow me to get my data back if I don't want to be part of y'all system anymore. I don't care. And y'all can still do it. Do what you do. I mean, but allow me to get out of it. And right now, technically, there is no out right now. Like if you've been signed up early for 10, 15 years as the internet have been going, you technically got your information out there. The only way to get out is to sort of change the endpoint, like change your email, change the things that originally identified you back in 2010 or 2005.
Or change who you are.
Yeah, I mean, change who you are, but change the data that you have online. I mean, like, that's, you really can't get your data back or get it removed. All you can really do is sort of give them disinformation. And that's been like the number one thing. There is no getting your data off. You just got to give them disinformation to make it hard to see. And that's just a basic
hard to decipher, for like who's, yeah.
Yeah, that's an old like CIA, NSA ideology. Like you can't get rid of something that's out there already. All you can do is mess up the message. I mean, if somebody put a message out there against your campaign, you can't get that message taken out. All you can do is change the message to seem like something else. Mm. And that's a battle of disinformation. And that's basically what you're talking about. If you have my information, I can either start feeding you disinformation to skew up your signals, your data points, or we can just deal with it and just not let my information stay. Just deal with it. Just have my information there.
It makes it seem like once you're plugged in, like there truly is no unplugging, right? And, yeah. And unless there's no, you know, once, and it's, you pretty much have a snapshot or it's recorded of like who you are. And I guess that's where I was kind of going with, to say like, because, you know, if you just go through a complete identity change, you know, then I guess starting anew, it would make it seem like, you know, you can give it different information based off of, you know, who you present yourself as now. But if you remain that same person, it's like really no turning back now. You just.
Yeah, I mean, because there's the digital trail, and then there's the real you. Like you can change who you really are, but then you gotta go through all this legal paperwork and documentation to come up with new social security cards and identities and stuff like that. But like, I mean, on a company level, you really, like on a company, when you're talking about like Apple and Google and Microsoft just collecting your personal information, they're companies. They're not necessarily the government. You can feed them lies all day. It don't matter. I mean, just don't give them the true information if you don't want them to be tracking you the way that you think they're tracking you. It's kind of hard, and that's part of the issue. It's like, I shouldn't have to do that. Consumers shouldn't have to do that. Shouldn't have to change who they are to be able to use these services and products. But at the same time, it's a free service and product. If you don't want it, you can just get rid of it. You should if you don't want Facebook tracking, you just get off of Facebook.
As a rule of thumb, man, I've learned, it said, I think it was in... Well, I heard this. I be listening to a whole bunch of stuff, man. It makes a lot of sense. You said that whenever you are getting or signing up for something that is free, you are the product.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? You're the you know, you're the end goal. So
nothing is free.
You know what I mean? Man.
I mean, like, Amazon will tell you that nothing is free. You know what I mean, like, that free shipping and handling, they keep telling you it's free. You forget that you pay about that. Like that's
yeah.
It's all a lie. It's all a lie. This next article talking about free. Why is Apple products so expensive? Why are Apple products so damn expensive?
I mean, they're expensive because, you know, my opinion, and I think it's a fact. Although I'll be humble and say it's my opinion, is that they just don't really care about world problems.
Yeah.
They're just caring about making money and remaining to appear to be the best to the consumers.
Yeah. So. I feel like that's true. And they're living in their bliss, meaning that they're willfully ignorant about it. Like they Apple's whole ideology is creating this, well, their new ideology is basically being this luxury brand product by creating this thing that most companies cannot create, and being this untouchable technology where they create this design and they create this product that is unseen before and very new and very appealing. And they rather be in that realm, and they feel like somebody has to do it. So it has to be them. And it's like, they feel like they can't be faulted for being that number one top product. Where, I mean, in this article is a transcript about this video that's on the article. If you go to the site, but on there, they basically talk about the process of how much they actually spend to actually make it. It's like the new flagship phones that are like $1,100, $1,000. They basically use like $470 worth of parts to actually make it. And the rest of it is just putting it together and making it pristine and making it look like this thing that it's a piece of jewelry, and having the software flow the way that it flows so that it's just in unison.
Okay.
And like, I mean, it's really just about the appeal. It's about that appeal. And they are being in that position. They don't feel the need to be like, you know, helping out society. Because that's not their job. Their job is to make this great, appealing product and
get these bands, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, that's not their mission, and that's why I'm saying like that they're willfully ignorant on it, because they're working their mission, they're doing the job of what they're supposed to be, and that's all they feel that they're supposed to be doing. And the only time that they really like take like societal initiatives to like do more is when they feel like they're like between a rock and a hard place, and they feel like they need to because the message is getting out that they're not doing enough.
Yeah, I mean, well, see, a part of the whole marketing scheme of why they need to, you know, why they're the best and why you need to go at Apple all the time is because, I mean, like you said, it takes $475 to make, you know, a phone. So, and typically you probably from where I think you would fall in the range, typically between like $100 and maybe $200 at the max. So if you take
$490 and bill of materials. So $490 and bill of materials, meaning the cost of the materials to actually make the phone is about $490. They still gotta put it together and make it it do what it do. So
they got expenses to cover and revenue generate and like profits to really
they still gotta make a profit. Like you can't expect them to like do it and try to cut even. Yeah, I mean, they intentionally are trying to make like something that's like the top product, and like I totally get it. I feel like being a $1 trillion company, they need to find better ways to have like better products, because like they need to diversify their bonds. So, like basically, like because if this iPhone goes up and you know somebody else comes out with something that's better than iPhone, that means then they're done for another couple of years. I mean, but people, but they not though. They not though, because they have a willing, like buyer base that no matter what they do, they can come out with a Cybertruck of cell phones, and it's Apple's, and they gonna hop on it, and it's gonna be the number one phone, and they gonna complain about it in 6 months about all the things it don't do, but they never gonna say that this is a bad decision. Yeah, I mean, they just gonna be like, yo,
So the company thrives and is able to charge more based off of the indoctrination of their fan base. Like how much their customers are so indoctrinated with the allure, the luster of Apple, that they don't really pay attention to that there could be better products out there. There could be more capable products out there.
Yeah, and it's kind of a fine line, because like it is one of the most capable products. It is one of the best products out there, nonetheless. But I think people take themselves too highly into consideration. Like, like you don't need that $1,000 phone. Like, yo, you just Snapchat and then talking to people on the cell. You could have got away with that $500 phone. You just wanted it because you saw that it was an iPhone, and you know that girl right there like them iPhones. Yeah, I mean, like,
you want to be part of the in crowd. That's what
you. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You pay for that premium, and Apple has like a golden tick. I heard the term before, status apparatus. Yeah, I mean, that's basically the term. You know, it's a status apparatus. If you don't have the status, you can get this apparatus. Yeah, I mean, and that'll give you the status, even if you didn't work for it. You can say you worked for it because you bought it with your money. Yeah, I mean,
it's your tax money.
Yeah, I mean, that gave you the credibility. That gives you the credibility because you got this device. I mean, it's a status apparatus. Like why people buy Tim, well, not buy Tim's, but buy like.
You want to say why they buy?
Yeah. Like they buy.
Why they buy Tim's? Or why they buy Timberlands over TIMS's, man? Are you serious?
I mean, like why they buy the clothes? Why they buy the Gucci? I mean, matter of fact, they even compare this to like a Gucci brand or a Rolex. Yeah, I mean, the comparison being like a cell phone or a piece of technology, they compare the flagship iPhone to like these sustainable pieces of luxury. Like the difference is like and what they talk about in here is like they don't have the retail value. They got retail value of like a car. Once you pull a car off the lot, it loses half its value. Yeah. It's the same thing with an iPhone. Like after 2 years, like your iPhone basically potentially will be obsolete. Yeah, I mean,
and they purposely do that too.
And they purposely do that. Purposely yeah, I mean, you get a Rolex watch, you get some Gucci, you can rock that for 30 years. Yeah, I mean, like 30 years later, I still got this Gucci that I bought in 19 something, something, something. Yeah, I mean, I got this watch that I still bought when it was 1999.
It ages.
Yeah, I mean, and you can pass it down to your kids and all this stuff. But like, iPhones ain't got that value, but somehow people are treating it like it does for the short term, like.
The technology realm in and of itself has that value, but it seems like the subsets of what comes from technology, like consumer tech, doesn't really have that. Like, and it's weird because you would think, you know, with the law, you know, the law of diminishing returns says that after you get, you know, like this one thing and it's like so cool, whatever the case is, like once you get the next thing, this kind of like a little, it may even be a little bit better, but it still has a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. That same high you got, it's not there. But yeah, somehow they just keep on, like, I don't know if they're just very good at creating new customers. Like,
They study the psychology of what to make a person tweak for that next thing, man. Like, what's the next fix? Like, they really didn't, like, because iPhone really didn't know what the next device was going to be and how can we really make this thing any different from the next one? And what they do, put three cameras on that motherfucker. Like, oh, no, three cameras. Other company, I don't even know, like Motorola or something did something with like three cameras back then. They were like, oh, that look ugly. Yo, that look crazy. Yeah. What is going on? But when Apple does it, it's like, oh, no, nah, that's amazing, bro. That thing, I think they call it like tripophobia or triophobia or something with like when you see like so many dots in a pattern, it makes like humans look crazy. Look at that. It's like tripophobia.
Yeah, it's trypnophobia. I actually have that phobia.
Yeah, when I look at the back of the iPhone with them three cameras on it, I'm like, yo, that kind of freaked me out. It looked like it's infected. It looked like an infection on the back of the phone. Next thing you know, the whole phone just gonna be rows of cameras lined up. I mean, but because it's Apple, it doesn't matter. They just win. Yeah, you know I mean, and really,
you
what
said
I,
that trypophobia, bro. That kind of, I really am a phobe. So for me, like, it just popped in my mind. It's like, I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying, and that would deter me from getting one. I don't know. I mean, I don't care all the other features that it got. It looked like that. It looked like it's going to wake up and eat me while I'm in my sleep and I don't want it. So, I mean, I'm good. I'm all right without it. I don't need three things looking at me. It looked like the fish off of Simpsons, like with the triple eyes.
Bro, they have the, as far as marketing goes, Apple has the Midas touch. Whatever they touch. So for that, whatever, even if it was already expensive,
I mean, all of that come from Steve Jobs, y'all. Steve Jobs has had that personality that they sort of stayed with in the company core. Like, even though they sort of, like, Steve Jobs also had this innovative approach, which they sort of fell off of when it comes to innovation. But when it comes to, like, the feel and, like, if it just feels better and you know it's better because it is better. Like, like that's Apple. That's core Steve Jobs. There was no doubt with Steve Jobs. Like, it is. It just is.
Like, it's Apple.
It's just better. It's just whatever you're thinking, it's not good enough. I mean, like, get out my office. Like, that was Steve Jobs. I mean, and that's what you feel like when you get that iPhone in your hand. You get like a drop of blood of Steve Jobs in every iPhone. I mean, so like, that's what that be for real.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So,
think about it, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to this last article. This last article kind of pisses me off, and I'm gonna tell you why it pisses me off. But I'm gonna go through it first. Apple expands its Everyone Can Code program to bring more code and resources to teachers and students. This article is basically, I feel like this is another cleanup article. We've been talking about this for the past 2 weeks. If you haven't heard, go to episode one, go to episode two, and then check this one out. This Phil Schiller guy.
Phil.
Yeah, who talked all that nonsense about how Chromebooks can't do, nothing. Yeah, you can't do nothing in an office. I mean, you can't do nothing in a school with a Chromebook except for take tests. And then you basically need to have an Apple if you want to do anything. Like, they still cleaning up this mess. They were cleaning up when we were talking about last time's article. And again, with this article, they basically are still doing cleanup work, because now they're talking about, look what we're doing with Everyone Can Code. This Everyone Can Code program, we're opening up more resources. We're giving more things to teachers and students so that teachers and students can start using Apple devices more, their iPads and their iPhones, and do all these things. And
when I first read that, when I first seen the title of the article, it seemed redeeming. Like, okay, oh, this is, you know, good stuff. But then when you get into it and you start to read what they actually talk about in the article, like you said, you compare it to, you know, the trip ups that they had before, and now that they're having to put all this stuff out to clean it up, it just, you know, it went down the drain for me, man.
it follows suit in marketing cleanup. Yeah, I mean, this is PR cleanup for real. Let me not for the people that benefit from this stuff.
Nah, do it, man.
Get that money. Yeah, like, get that Apple money, because they giving out iPhones, they giving out iPads, and they giving out free stuff. I mean, but nonetheless, they doing it to clean up what they messed up with when they said that, because people are using Chromebooks for all types of things now. I mean, and it's basically the future of the system, and they got to be, Apple has to be in a position now that they have to prove that they can also do these things for schools and curriculums, because I mean, that's what they're all about right now is the early adoption. And like, if you can get them early adopted as kids, then when they grow up and actually become people with jobs, then they're going to keep using the same software.
That's all they're going to know. Yeah.
I mean, so like, that's what they're trying to do right now. And he messed up by saying that without actually having a plan. So now they got to push these plans out.
Putting all this stuff out there. Just give it out. Give it away for free.
Give them out there, because we got to send this message out. We got to prove that we got power. Education business. My bad. No.
You good. I was going to say, it reminds me of, it's likened to, you know, you go to a restaurant and somebody finds a roach in their soup. And you like, you know, that usually, so they kind of come out and do damage and cruel and say, oh, that usually doesn't happen, this. So they gotta, to make sure that person doesn't go crazy, and just go to the other side, just go to, you know, report them, go to the other restaurant, you gotta give them a whole bunch of, here's some free biscuits.
Yeah. I mean, they gotta go get that audit. And
you
want
to come back to the kitchen and watch us cook the food? You want to do that? That's pretty much what they're doing. They let them all up in their life now, trying to like compensate for the blunder that they had, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they basically got to have the health inspector come in and give them a new A rating and put that on the board so that it'd be like, see, we clean, bro. That was just one hiccup that came out, that fell out the cook's pocket. Don't worry about that. That wasn't
Phil was just talking crazy.
We just had a dirty chef. We got rid of him. That's all. The place is clean. Dirty chef. I mean, but like, nonetheless, this does, it's really a cleanup article, but I hope that they actually try to do stuff without having to clean up after like a executive says some nonsense out of his mouth. Because ideally, it would be better for them to just be a proven company, like in the case of Google, who does give a lot of their stuff away for free. Whether it is for them collecting data or not, that's a whole nother issue, but they are at least trying to give the stuff out there. And getting people to use stuff on their income, because one of the major things is that education, I mean, the cost of education, the value of education is high, but the cost of it is also high, and being able to lighten the cost of education is important. And to do it selflessly and not just for a news article is one of the main things.
Right. That's the thing.
And also, when, like you said, when reading this article, one of the things I looked back up at, it was like, who wrote this article? It was Apple. It was on Apple.com.
Big up themselves.
Yeah. It's Apple's article. Yeah, I mean, so like, yeah, they definitely they clean it up. Yeah, I mean, they probably pushed this out on the Apple News app, the iOS News app, just so that they can get the readers. And that's a whole nother issue that I got with like the fact that they control a news medium. Yeah, I mean, they control Apple News. So like, anybody that's getting their news from Apple News, you got to know that Apple is going to be kind of messing with your news.
They're gonna filter, you know, the news in such a way where it's always going to be to the benefit of the company. It's not going to ever be general the news, the information that they will bring to you will never be, you know, something that could, you know, talk about the company, make the company look bad, anything like that. It's not going to happen. So you just want to get more peppermint patties and ice cold water on a hot sunny day. You know, more, you know,
even Google has Google News, but Google doesn't put their news out as part of Google News. I mean, when they put their news out, they put them out as blog articles on a separate system and say, this is the Google search blog. This is the Google G Suite blog. I mean, you know that it's coming from the company for their blog. They don't integrate it in their newsroom system. Like this is sort of integrated with news of like from CNN, from MSNBC. They just threw in one of their articles with it. And that's where Google at least tries to be a little bit different, where it's like, we're just generally giving you news from all the news resources.
Google feeds you news from the world. Apple feeds you news that they come up in their back office
with. Yeah, exactly. they filter their news. But yeah, I think that's about it for. Is that it? Yeah, I think that's about it for the news.
Apple need to give us some more material, bro.
That's what I told you. Like that's what I was saying. Like the first time, like Apple. I mean, they really don't be having those topics. Like they got a good product, but when it comes to news, they kind of keep their stuff under wraps or. It's fake news. It's Trump news.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's yellow. What they call it? Yellow journalism.
Yeah,
something like that. Is it some stuff they coming up with to try to big up whatever? I don't know if it's a term.
Yeah, you write about yourself basically and hype yourself up and sell it as something else, or tell some news company to write about articles for you. I mean, it's like prop articles.
Every week, man, we talk shit about them. I just want them to do if Phil hears this, come on, man.
They gotta
give us something else, bro.
They got a $1 trillion company. They can hear some complaints. I'm gonna keep talking shit about them until they go back to a couple $100 billion. How about that? I mean, they go back to a couple $100 billion, then I won't talk any more shit about them. If they give like at least $1 billion to a organization, give $1 billion to education, then I'll be like, all right, I might stop talking some smack.
Or they're gonna find you.
Oh, they're gonna find me and put me in that black bag. I tell them what, I got some stuff for them. They can try to find
that sensory deprivation room, man.
Yeah, I got eight shells and two clips on them. They can try it, Apple. Don't wear no sweater vests.
No cardigans.
Yeah, man. But all right, we're gonna wrap this up because I'm starting to get to another level. This has definitely been an interesting topic. I like talking about Apple, even though they don't never have enough to talk about. I like talking bent down about them. I like talking up about them. But if you want to hear more of us talking about them, go ahead and hit them like buttons, hit that share button. Go ahead and subscribe to us on all the feeds. I mean, we're on us all the podcasts, we're on all your socials, and we will give you more of the same news day to week to week, except for when we on holidays. We didn't do one last week because, you know, it was Thanksgiving. But because
we was eating.
Yeah, we was eating good, being merry, all that good stuff. But go ahead and listen to us, and this has definitely been interesting. You have a good time. Appreciate you for listening.
All right, man. Y'all take care. Peace.
Peace.